Verse 6. Give you a second to get there. Well, God bless us with a beautiful day today. Sun shining. A little warmer. I think we got some rain on the way this week. Guess we need it. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. And with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee and keep them alive, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." And thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today and the beautiful day you've given to us. We thank you for our health, our ability to be here. We ask for your blessings. Meet with us, Lord. Pour your spirit out upon us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. You know our needs and, Lord, just requests that have been made already. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for sending your word, sending your son, speaking to us still. Thank you we can pray to you. Lord, we know you hear us. Lord, you know, we know you care about us, and we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is God's Invitation. Someone had written about about Noah and the Ark, the story of Noah and the Ark, said you could learn everything that there was to learn about life from this story. Written down 12 things they said you could learn. Number one, don't miss the boat. Number two, remember we are all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number four, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Number five, don't listen to the critics. Six, keep your business afloat. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while. Number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic by professionals. Number 11, no matter the storm, when you are with God, there is always a rainbow waiting. And number 12, watch out for woodpeckers, I guess in a wooden boat. That's it. The Bible says that God saw the wickedness of the world and the imagination of men's hearts only evil continually. I remember when I was a new Christian and hadn't been saved long, and of course most of us, the story of Noah and the ark, that's a favorite nursery tale or Christian text for kids. Kind of fascinating there with the ark and the animals, and you know, we've seen cartoons and flannel graphs and those things, and sometimes I think that might hurt us just a little bit with the significance of what's going on with the ark. I know I've preached on it before. I like the text. I remember when I was a young Christian, an evangelist came to our church. Actually, he was from around here. Some of you might have known him. I know I remember Mary Patzel and maybe like Marge, you might have heard Paul Turner. Do you remember Paul Turner? He used to live around here, and Paul Turner came to our church and he preached a message. And you know, if you think back over the years, there's probably people that have preached messages that parts of those things just like stuck in your head. And I remember just a few messages. I remember some my pastor preached, but I remember I was a new Christian and Paul Turner came and he preached on Noah's Ark. I had heard about Noah's Ark from the time I was a little kid, and a lot of the stories there about that and the water and the flood and you know, and all that. But man, he preached a message and that thing stuck with me, and I can picture him preaching that message and some of the things that he preached about. And you know, one of the things that you know, what I want to touch on too is the fact of how the ark pictured Christ, you know, a type of Christ. And that really stuck with me about it, but I'll kind of point some things out as we go along there. But we see that God saw that the wickedness of the world, the earth, was only evil continually. And, you know, it had got, you know, man's nature, that fallen nature of man, the corruptness. So we're living in a day not unlike the day that Noah lived in. When we look in the New Testament, it said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we know that wickedness increased in evil, or increased in wickedness in the world, is a sure sign that God, you know, God's coming back again. He said, I'm not going to, that rainbow was a covenant that he said, I'm not going to destroy the earth by another flood. It's going to be with a fire next time I'll destroy the earth. When that happens, it won't be a flood. So we know the Lord's, it's approaching, fast approaching the time that the Lord's going to come back. I believe that. I believe we're living in the day. You know, and if we live long enough, and you know, God, it's God's timetable. I'm not going to claim that, you know, some of these people claim they know when the Lord's coming back. They figured out this and that, some mystery in the Bible. The Bible's clear that we're not going to know for sure, but there are some signs of the times, and we see an increase, and it's really increasing fast, the wickedness that we see in the world today. So he could come at any time, and I believe he will. But, you know, in that day, in his mercy and grace, he made a way of escape. He made a place of salvation. As I said, Luke 17:26, I quoted that, said, Luke 17:26 is where it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So when he comes back, when Jesus comes back, when you look around today, we think about it. I thought when God looks around at the world today, what does God see? What does God see that's different in the world that he saw in that day? You think, well, boy, do you think it must have been pretty wicked in that day. It must have been a pretty wicked day. When you think about, but you look in the Bible, you look at the during times back in those days, we think about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot dealing with that mess, how wicked things were. It doesn't take man long. It doesn't take very many generations. You think God started out with a clean slate and he put Adam and Eve in the garden and they had a perfect environment so they couldn't blame their outcome on their environment. And they lived in that Garden of Eden and God took care of them. Boy, but it wasn't long when the old serpent came along and said, has God said that? Did God really say that you couldn't partake of that fruit there? Did you put some doubt about the Word of God? And boy, the next thing you know, they had two children, raised them up the same way. And what happened right off the bat? You know, one of them became a murderer, became a liar and a murderer. That was how fast the very next generation. Well, even in the very first generation that God made, they sinned. They committed sin, and then the next generation they committed murder. And so you think after hundreds of years, you know, how wicked could man get? Well, we're experiencing in the world we live in today. Look how in our lifetime, those of us that are old enough to remember happy days, you know, the 50s. You know, I was born in the 50s. When you think about life then and how people were then, and look at it today, it's gone so far down. I was sharing this last week, I think it was Sherry's reading a book about it's a thing for women, but it said, you know, we're so worldly, we don't even know how worldly we are, because we look at the world we live in, we kind of model after that, and then we're prone to that lifestyle. And so when God looks around, what does he see today? I tell you, he sees great wickedness, great wickedness. Don't blow by those two words right there. Great wickedness. He sees evil thoughts of man's mind, man's heart. It's only evil continually. That's what he said. And so in God, in Noah's day, God prepared a place. He prepared an ark to escape that judgment if people would just believe his word. And in today, in the world we live in today, he prepared a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is pictured, as I said, in this ark. We see that number one point, God prepared a place of salvation. I don't need my projector on, but it's not on. I'll just let you know that. I've got it down here. He's got a place of salvation. And as I said, everything about the ark pictured Jesus Christ. In Noah's day, there was only one ark. You got to remember now, this is another little background thing. It had never rained on the earth before the great flood. So they didn't know what rain was. The earth was watered by real heavy dew. You know, if you get around here, we have humidity and farther, you know, but God had a heavy dew. It was just a heavy dew every day. They got it every day, a heavy dew. It had never really rained. So he tells Noah, listen, man, I want you to build an ark, you know, a boat. We're going to, you know, it's a big ship. It's a big boat. He goes, I want you to build that, and we're going to have a flood. But there was only one ark. That was it. It wasn't an ark here, an ark there, a different kind of ark. There was just one ark. That was the only way to escape that judgment that God was going to place upon the earth. It took Noah a pretty long time to build that ark. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. He was up there saying, preaching about God, about his righteousness, and telling the world that God was going to judge this wickedness. He was going to judge this world, and that, you know, you better trust God. But only 8 people out of everybody, and that was Noah's family, only 8 people got saved. How many people were there? You know, because we think, oh, we're living in a day when we, you know, the world is multiplied. It had already multiplied. There was millions of people on the earth in Noah's day, millions of people already on the earth. And God judged the world, but there was only one way of escape. It was that ark. And so that pictured Christ in that way. Listen, there's people out there to tell you today, oh, there's a lot of ways to get to God. There's a lot of ways you can have this. And there's people that believe you're going to turn into an animal and, you know, we're going to have reincarnation. So we're going to devolve instead of evolve. See how messed up it is. Evolution says we went from being a tadpole to a human being. And then they got the reincarnation people say, well, you're going to be a human being, the highest order of things, and you're going to be reincarnated as a cat or something. I mean, you know, we're going backwards. They're in opposition to the evolutionists, you know. And so it's confused. And so people believe different things, all types of things. But I'm going to tell you what, there's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. I mean, there's a lot of false religions, a lot of cults. They've got another way. It's one way, just like the ark was the only way. So it pictured Christ in that way. I saw something on TV. It really bothered me. It was just the other day. They had a little newscast on there, and they had the Pope visiting this place. And the Pope, there was a little boy that they let the kids ask questions. One little boy was too shy. He didn't want him. So the Pope asked him, said, come up here. And what he wanted to know was, this little boy said, my daddy is an atheist. My daddy was an atheist. He died, and I want to know, did he get to go to heaven? And, you know, the Pope said this. Now, I understand that in a question like that with a small child, you got to be real tactful. I mean, you don't want to tell, you know, you don't want to say, no, boy, your daddy's in hell because he didn't, you know. I understand that. But the Pope says, well, you know, so listen, you know, God's a father too. And he asked the crowd of people sitting out there, do you think God would send him away? And everybody says, no, no, no. You know, well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not the truth, man, because there was all the people that didn't get in the ark were lost. They died. They died. And if they didn't get in the ark, I mean, there's a tactful way to say it. I've had that question asked to me after somebody passed away. I mean, there's ways. I don't want to lie to them, though. I'm not going to lie. I'll just tell them, listen, you never know what went on in somebody's mind right before they passed. They might have put faith in God as far as we, you know. And that's a good thought to have right there in that, because we don't know. And but here's the thing. This is the thought. Would God send them away? Like, oh, you know, God is so much loved that, listen, there was a lot of people on the outside of that ark when that flood, when them floodwaters came down, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Listen, we got to, what, you know, they only people that were saved were the ones in the ark, and I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's coming back one day, and I'm going to tell you what, it isn't going to be the people in church that's saved. It's not going to be the people that's toting around a Bible. It's not going to be the people that's saying amen. It's going to be the people that really have a relationship with Jesus Christ that are going to be, that is the ark, that are in Christ, and the ones that are not in Christ are going to be lost. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible's clear on that. And you know, I'm not telling you that to sound mean or make God sound like he's being mean and cruel. But listen, there's been over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died on the cross. The church has been existing over 2,000 years. The gospel's going out. It's on the radio. It's on television. There's Bibles everywhere. There's preachers everywhere today. And if you drop off and go to hell, it's not going to be God's fault. It's going to be your fault because you rejected the truth. And so we see the ark. There was only one window. I like that. There was only one window in the ark. Sometimes you get these little kid things. We had them when our kids were small. Maybe Danielle had one or something, and it had a little ark thing, and the animals was inside there and all that. They usually got it. It's not a good copy of the original plans because they got too many doors and windows and different things. It says there was only one window, and guess what? It tells you where it is. The only way you could look was up. You can only look up right there. And this is a good point right here for you, Christian. You know what? Just keep looking up. They couldn't look out at the storm that was going on all around. They couldn't look out at the circumstances that were going on. They couldn't see all them dead bodies floating in the water that were out there, people that were dying. All they could do is look at heaven. That's all they could look at. That's where you need to keep your focus. That's why God only put one window in the top of the ark. And then there was only one door. There was only one door. That is a type of Christ. There's only one way. The only door. Jesus said, I am the door. It's not Mohammed. It's not Buddha. Huh? It's not Hare Krishna. It's not, I don't know whoever. It's none of it. It is Jesus Christ. He's the door. That was it. That was only one way in that ark. And it was, you know, we had to go in that door. Only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Guess what? Didn't have a rudder on it. Anybody knows anything about boats? Big ships, they got a rudder. Why do you need a rudder? You got to steer the thing with it. But when you're in God's hands, you don't have to steer it. God's doing the one that's doing the steering. Didn't need a rudder. They just floated around out there, and God was in charge. And you know what? It didn't have a lifeboat. It didn't. We went on the cruise back in January. Went on that Christian gospel cruise, and I went around there looking around, you know. Man, they had some lifeboats, Jack. I mean, they had a lifeboat I'd like to have for a personal boat. This thing was long, man, from here to the other end, had an engine on it, and I told Sherry, I said, listen, this thing starts to go down. This is the boat we need to get in right here. They got one on each side. Huh? This one had a motor, a covered-up thing. I mean, we could have sailed on into Cuba and with that thing if it had a sink. But the Ark didn't need a lifeboat because you know why? There wasn't a one in trillion chance that this dude was going to sink. There was no shot that the boat was going to sink. I like David Gibbs. He preached a message. He said, you know what? You got to get rid of when you trust God, all plan Bs. You don't need plan B because plan A going to work. Huh? They didn't need a boat, but they didn't need a lifeboat because this boat is going to not sink whatsoever. I remember when Paul Turner preached that message, the thing that stuck out with me the most, he said, man, God shut that door. I'm probably ahead of myself on my points, but we'll get to it. We'll cover it again because, you know, half of you are probably paying attention. The other half will get it on the second time around. He said, God shut that door. He said, Noah didn't have to pull up a chair and sit there looking at that door, seeing if any water was leaking in. Huh? Seeing if he was getting any leaks. Nah, because God shut it. That was it. It was a done deal. Not a chance. If that ark could have sank, then we would not have eternal security. If that ark could have sank all of Christianity, there's a possibility it'd all go down the tubes. Impossible. It would have never sunk. And it was impossible that it wasn't even a thought. And then the Bible says that they covered the inside and the outside of the ark with pitch. The Hebrew word is kephar, and that word is the word used for atonement, which we know as we look at Jesus on the cross that His blood was what was used for the atonement or to make an atonement for our sins. That's a type of Christ. That was why it covered. Because let's think about it. God's got the ark, right? God said, Noah, you build the ark. It didn't matter whether he put pitch on it or not as far as the ship sinking because it wasn't going to sink because it was in God's hands. It didn't matter how. You could have had gaps that big in the boards. It still wouldn't have sank. But he said, listen, everything pictured Christ. The blood of Christ. And it was, so that is a type of Christ. And then, here's the thing here, and that's the title. It goes along with the title of the message this morning. You know, God's invitation in chapter 7. I didn't read it when I originally read, but it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. If your Bible doesn't say come now, if it says go now, get rid of that thing. Get you a good Bible that's got the wording right. Come into the ark. There's a lot of difference when coming in and going in. If God said go into the ark, where's God? God's on the outside. If he says, come into the ark, he's on the inside. I don't know about you, but if God's on the inside, I want to be with God. God's on the outside, I want to be with God. I don't want to be in there without God. And so there's a difference right there, a slight one, but it's a major difference doctrinally that you're coming into as a type of Christ. You're coming to God. And God has given this invitation. And throughout the history of the world, God has given an invitation. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Think about this. He says, come now, let us reason together. This is what God says. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to think about this. Let's think about it. You know, and what all to think about? You know, you go all the way back. Well, number one, do you see yourself as a sinner? Let's think about it. Good person test. You know, you ever told a lie? You ever took anything you shouldn't take? Huh? You ever lusted after somebody opposite sex? Huh? Oh, well, if the answer is yes, and it is. If you say no, you already lied. We got you on lying, right? So it is. So you're a lying, thief, and adulterer already, right? So there's nobody's going to pass the good person test. You got to see yourself as a sinner, right? Let's reason. Let's think about it. Though your sins be as scarlet, red like scarlet, there are many. He said, I'll make them white as wool, white like wool. They shall be as wool, which is white. So let's think about it. He said, come. This is the invitation to come to God. You got to come to God. And let's think about that. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So let, you know, bring your burdens to Jesus Christ and lay them at his feet. That's what he said. Listen, there's an invitation. Man, everything, listen, this is, I will, you know, I'm going to give you some things. Listen, I got what I'm preaching on tonight. He told Isaac, he said, listen, I got one stipulation for you. He said, just don't go down into Egypt. And then he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your seed, because he made a promise to Abraham. God made a promise to Jesus Christ on our behalf too. And he said, I'm going to do all these things for you. Isaac ended up telling the lie, and he still got blessed because it was based on a promise of God, not what he did, but he didn't go down into Egypt. Here's the invitation. Come to me that are heavy laden. He said, I'm going to give you rest. That's what we want. Sin is a heavy burden there. And then to the thirsty, Jesus said, come. And to the weak, Jesus said, come. Not only does he invite and say, come, he goes out and knocks on the door. He knocks on your heart's door. He didn't say go into that ark. He said come. God's grace and presence were in the ark. So we see it was a place of salvation. Jesus Christ is the person and place of salvation. The second thing is we see it's a place of separation. In chapter 7, verse 16, one verse you can see there, it says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God shut that door. As I said earlier, no drips, no leaks, no drips, no errors. God shut it. But I want to tell you, it's two things about that shut door. The number one thing is it was a blessing to those that were in the ark. See, I know if God shuts the door, listen, it's not going to come open, you know, until God says. It's no doesn't matter how rough it got out there or bobbing around in the water. I don't know how. It didn't matter that, you know, that wasn't going to be a problem. But I'm going to tell you something else. It was a blessing to those inside the ark, but it was doom to those on the outside. It was a doom to those on the outside. All that preaching, man, know what they had? Time. And you know, it's a funny thing. There's so many people. I mean, we live in Botetourt County, Bible Belt, I guess, area. We live in a place where most people that we know of have heard of God, know about church, know about the Bible, know about the cross. They know about all those things. You know, everybody in, you know, tongue in cheek, everybody in Botetourt saved. All you got to do is ask them, yeah, you know, way back 40 years ago, I, you know, made a profession and never have nothing to do with God. God's long-suffering. The fact that he hasn't come back, you know, yet is long-suffering of God. He's given people an opportunity to make sure it's real. But you know what? When Noah, you think about Noah out there preaching, Noah was telling them the truth. People heard his word. They saw his life. They saw his testimony. The door was going. They probably even saw the animals. There were people living there, and they saw the animals going in. They saw that. They had time. Noah and his family believed God. They got inside, and God shut that door. But all them people on the outside. You know, you think about it. Why aren't we obedient to God I mean, the only you boil it down any way you want. It's the buts and the what ifs and the but you know, it's all unbelief. It has to be unbelief. You know, why won't we obey God in every area of our life? Because we have doubt, fear, wonder, what ifs, and all those type things that go along with it. And there was people out there listening. I bet you there was people out there that said, you know what? I kind of like that message. I like what old Noah's got to say. I bet you there was some, it wasn't like everybody that wasn't in the ark was just all real evil people that you couldn't get next to and leave your wallet laying out or something. I think there was probably some folks that was okay, you know? And they were probably thinking, yeah, you know, I kind of like the message that he says. I like what Noah's got to say. I like that. He's talking about this. I'm not sure. He's talking about this doom. When you boil it down far enough, they might have liked everything, but when it really got down to the fact that, hey, if you don't get in the ark, you're going to die. If you really thought you were going to die, don't you think you would have got in the ark? That's the simple salvation message, really. If there's a hell, there is. If there's a heaven, there is. If there's a judgment day, there is. The Lord's coming back one day. He is. If you really believe it and you're lost today, then you'll get saved today. If you don't get saved today, then you don't really believe it. That's just the way it is. Because one day God shut that door. And then it didn't matter. Well, you know, I changed my mind. Too bad. It started raining. Too late. Huh? One day, boy, the rapture's going to take place. Every single person ever heard a gospel message, they'll never get saved. They'll never get saved. There'll be people saved during the tribulation period. It's going to be somebody that never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Anybody that ever heard it and just rejected it or just said, I'll put it off or whatever, you'll never get saved. God said he'll send you a strong delusion. You believe a lie before you believe the truth. Now, today is the day. That day, whatever day it was, that morning, just using my imagination. That morning, bright and early, they got up and the last animal got on board. God said, Noah, y'all come on in. Noah and his family started heading in. Buddy, if he was going to get saved, you better follow him in. You better get in that ark. Because, buddy, that old door, huh? Wasn't the last call, you know. Come on. Door shut. That was it. It was over. You change your mind tomorrow. You change your mind 10 minutes from then, it was going to be too late. And when the Lord comes back, it said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to rapture this church out of here, and it's going to be too late for you. You're going to be around here during all that tribulation period and then the judgment day will come back. Yeah, it's going to be too late. The Lord's going to come back. He's going to judge this earth because of that. Think about what Noah saw. It was a place of separation. I thought about this when I was studying. You know, when remember Lazarus in the Bible, when Lazarus died and he was in Abraham's bosom and the rich man woke up in hell. He lifted his eyes in hell, the Bible says. And he looked over, he said, Abraham, send Lazarus over here and let him dip his finger and cool my tongue. Abraham said, can't. He said, there's a great gulf between us. And he said, you can't come to us, and we can't go to you. When God shut that door, I don't believe the people in the boat could get out. Which, that's a security of your salvation verse. You weren't going to lose your salvation. You weren't going to, like, slip out and fall out. There was only one window, and it was up. You weren't going to fall out of the boat into the water and drown. No chance. You wasn't going to get the door open yourself. You couldn't go to the lost, and the lost couldn't come to you. But I think about that door. That door's about ready to shut. And maybe I'm just, I don't know if it was like this or not, just for sake of the story. It was in type, it works. Noah stood up there and looked out there. Noah probably had some neighbors. People around, you know how people do, they always congregate in places. So wherever Noah was living, there was probably other people there, friends. Who knows, might be somebody that even gave him, you know, sold him lumber or whatever, helped out there. I don't know. They're all standing out there. Noah knows. That door getting ready to shut. What's he seeing? He's seeing women, children, old men, old women, all standing out there. Knowing that they're lost. That's this world right here we live in. Right now, man. People going down the highway right now. I don't know everybody's story. I mean, something could be going on. I can guarantee you there's people going up and down this road right here don't have a thought about God. They don't have thought about their sin. Could care less about things of God. Guaranteed. One day. Huh? Good. And decent folk. Decent folks that... they'd be good neighbors to you. Huh? They got kids. They got families. They got grandkids. They're just not listening to the gospel message. They've heard it. They won't listen to it. Look at here, 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 3. It says this. It goes along with this. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, or willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Look at here. It says right here that people are willingly ignorant. I got to think about that. You know, willingly ignorant means, you know what it is? They don't want to hear it. There's people out there today, listen, you couldn't get them in here with a $100 bill. Huh? They don't want to hear the word of God, even though judgment's coming. You know, some people say, well, I've heard people say, like sometimes preaching's from the negative side of things. I said, well, it just depends on how you look at it. You may not want to hear the word of God, but let me ask you this. If you were walking along and there was a rattlesnake and you were about to step on it, would you want me to say, look out, there's a rattlesnake, don't step on it? Or you just want to say, well, you don't want to hear it, go ahead. Huh? Oh, they want you to let them know. It says God's long-suffering. It said, but there's people out there, they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to hear from the word of God. And they says this. It says that the scoffers, they're making fun of it. They're laughing. They're walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, number one, who created the creation? It's God. But that's a lie. It's not all the same since the beginning of creation. Things have not continued on as they were since the beginning of creation. Well, what happened? The flood. The judgment. That's what he's saying. They were wrong about that. He said, everything's been the same. No, they're willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the word of God, the same word of God that God spoke and created the heavens and the earth that they're living on. The heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. It didn't continue on the same. There was a judgment. And it's not going to continue on. The only reason, what it is, their excuse is, well, it's been such a long time. That's the grace of God. It's been such a long time. See, things are just going on. Where's that promise of his coming? You better thank God he hadn't come back. If you're lost, huh? They're not seeing that. And guess who they talk to? It says that willingly, it says, and saying. Who are they saying it to? They're saying it to the believers because they're trying to get you to doubt. The lost are saying it to you because the believers, because they want you to doubt that the Lord's coming back. What do you think was going on the outside of the ark when that water began to rise? Let's use your imagination. Now, everybody in the world didn't live in close proximity to the ark, but I'm sure God made a way for them to know the truth, right? But just think about it. It started raining. It had never rained. The Bible, when you study that flood, it says that the springs broke up and that God broke up all the springs and the water all increased and water was just coming out of everything. And you know, around here, it don't take too long. Remember Sunday, it poured down Sunday. That river was jacked up for days after that. Man alive, it was high and muddy. It's still high. It's not as muddy. But just think 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, yeah, you could flood the earth. Yes, sir. Yeah. Rained all over the earth like that. Just think what started going on. It started raining and that water started coming up. Don't you think somebody started thinking, you know what? That Noah guy was preaching something about this. He was talking about God. And don't you think somebody got right around that close proximity? Can't you imagine that somebody said, you know what? Man, maybe that ark, that thing's a boat. That thing will float. We need to go get in that ark. And they ran over there to it. Don't you think? Don't you think there was people out there? That water started getting up. Huh? A little higher. You know, how long can you tread water, right? And they started getting up, but that thing, that's a big boat. You know, you ever looked, pictured, I imagine you do, you watch some TV shows or we was on the cruise ship or something, you think, man, if I fell overboard, there ain't nothing to hold on to. I mean, you just out there on the side like a big old flat thing. Huh? Don't you imagine there was people outside? Don't you think there was some crying going on and there was some weeping going on and there was some people that were sorry that they didn't believe what Noah had to say and that there was some people that they were begging? I believe there was some praying going on out there at that time. That water started getting up, yeah, but it was too late. It was just too late. The lost were separated from the only means of salvation. And then the last thing, it was a place of satisfaction. Noah and his family, they went through the storm with God. They went through the storm with God, as I said, only had one window. They could only look up. They didn't see the judgment. They just looked up to God because God was going to meet every need that they had. And then the ark was a means of transportation from one life to the next. Jesus Christ. He's the means of our transportation from this life to the next. They had communion with God. They walked with God. They talked with God. Think about when them floodwaters receded. See, I believe it was. It tells you how long. It was the floodwaters were on the face of the earth long enough that all the bodies decomposed. Everything was gone. All that corruption was gone. You just think about it. That ark finally came down to rest. They say it rested there on Mount Ararat, and the waters receded, and then the dove came and all that. And boy, just think how clean and pure the earth was. All the corrupt people, all the corruption, there was no, it was just Noah and his family. They were trusting God. They were believing God. They came out into a brand new life. Man, that's a picture of salvation. Now the earth got corrupted again. We're living in the results of it again. We're living in that. But you know what? We still have that relationship with God in the midst of all that. We still are in Christ. You can picture it this way. We would still be in Christ, that ark going through this world, this storm in this world. But man, it was a brand new day, peaceful. It was joy. They were satisfied. God met every need they had. God replenished the earth from that point. Think about this. In the ark. God invited in the ark. This is what you have to be sure about. It's not in the church. It's good to be in the church, but you got to be in Christ. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to have your Bible. It's good to pray. That isn't who were saved. The saved people were doing those things, but it was the people that were in Christ. They got in the ark. You know, well, how do you get in Christ? He's already gave me the invitation. Come. He said, come on. Just come to me. If you labor, you're heavy laden with sin or heavy laden with whatever, he said, come. He's knocked on your heart's door. Open the door. Let him in. Christ comes into you. You go into Christ. See, now, I'm already in the ark. I'm already in. If you're saved, you're already in. God hadn't shut the door yet. I'm just waiting, man. I'm in there buckled down. I'm waiting. Huh? One day God's going to shut that door. And when he shuts the door, it's over. Today is the day of salvation. Today's the opportunity to be saved. Think about that. Are you in? Are you in? For sure. You know it. You want to be sure about it. You can be sure. Come on, Paul. And as we have an invitation, you think.